Our scripture reading tonight is from Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 14. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid. You worm Jacob, little Israel, do not fear. For I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of our Lord.
God. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of these passages from the book of Isaiah are very familiar because they're passages we run to when we need them. And I love these passages because they give us this incredible insight into God's character. You know, people tend to think of the God of the Old Testament, of this God of judgment and wrath who's angry all the time, who's demanding a retribution for everything that happens, who's disowning his people. And yet we know that that's not the full picture of who God is, that we see throughout the Old Testament this God of grace, this God of grace again and again and again. And we have these passages, they're like, I love you notes from God in the middle of the book of Isaiah. I love the intimacy that God has in this passage where he says, you Jacob and Israel, the descendants of my friend Abraham, I've chosen you. You're mine. I've not cast you out. And in the book of Romans in the New Testament, Paul reminds us that through Jesus Christ, we've been grafted in to Abraham. We've been grafted in to God's promised family. And so these promises, these reassurances, these I love yous that he gives here to Israel, to Jacob, he gives to us as well. He calls Abraham his friend, and Abraham certainly was a friend of God. We see it in his faith, in his willingness to follow where God took him. Last week we talked about his willingness to believe the impossible, that God would make an old man father of many nations. And God calls him friend. And I'm reminded when I read that of Jesus in the New Testament recorded in the Gospel of John, where he says to us, I'm not calling you my servants anymore. I'm calling you my friends. And that's who we are, God's friends. And he comes to us with this beautiful passage of this intimate friendship where he's with us, where he strengthens us, where he upholds us. I'm going to do it with my left hand, with his right hand, where he tells us he takes us by the hand. This same God making these tender, I love you promises, these same I'm with you promises, is the Ancient of Days, is the Holy One of Israel, is the one whom angels and living beings that would take our breath away veil their faces in his presence. This holy, holy, holy God, this God who always was, who is, and is to come, says, listen to me, my children, my friends. I'm with you. And I don't know about you, but I need to hear that reminder again and again, because the reality of it is, when we're gathered here together, when we're in the middle of worship, when we're singing these praise songs and we know God's present with us, it's easy to believe that God loves us. You know, as a matter of fact, it's one of the first things we learn, right? In Sunday school, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So it's easy to believe he loves us when we gather here together. But when we walk out of this place into our everyday, ordinary lives, sometimes we forget. Or sometimes we know that God loves us in this nebulous way, but we need to know that God loves us in this intimate, personal way. This God who says, I know the number of hairs on your head. That's the way I love you. I love you with a love that's not going to let you go. And even if you go through fire and flood and storm, I'm going to go with you. And we need to hear that, because sometimes life is really hard. And sometimes things do not go the way we want them to go. And we feel sometimes like we're out adrift in the sea in a little rinky-dink boat all by ourselves. Sometimes we face problems that we're not sure we can find solutions to. Sometimes we're wrestling with decisions that we don't feel like we have enough information or we're wise enough to make. And it's really easy there to be discouraged, to feel alone, to feel rejected, to feel abandoned. And so God says, no, no, no. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's happening around us, you, my children, my loved ones, my friends, I am with you. And I'm not just with you. I'm with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to hold you up when there's not enough of you to hold yourself up. I'm going to take you by the hand and I'm going to show you where to go. I'm with you. One thing that strikes me as I read this passage is in that these short 6 verses, God says, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged, which is a beautiful thing, because I believe discouragement is one of the greatest weapons of the enemy of our souls. He loves nothing more than to discourage us. Nothing more to say, this is never going to work out. Nothing ever goes right for me. Might work for other people, but it doesn't work for me. I always get bad luck. You know, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. I mean, all those things the enemy throws at us to discourage us. So he says, don't be discouraged. And then he says, four times in just a couple of verses, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Do you know don't be afraid or fear not is the greatest commandment in all of Scripture? The greatest commandment in all of Scripture is don't be afraid. Fear not. Stop being afraid. Depending on what version, what translation you use, it's in there over 80 times. Don't be afraid. That's the command God and God's messengers gives us again and again and again. Stop being afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? Because fear immobilizes us. Because fear separates us from God. Because fear keeps us from committing ourselves fully to God. Because fear stops us from being the people that God's calling us to be. Don't be afraid. God says, don't be afraid. And you know, when I look at my own life, I see, as I've talked to you a lot about before, my worry. And worry is just an expression of fear. I worry because I'm afraid things are going to happen. And I take that fear so crazy far, and I have so many unhealthy religious messages ingrained in my spirit that I do things like this. And I don't know if you have similar experiences to this, but I long for the people in my life, particularly my children and my grandchildren, to passionately, personally, and intimately know the God that I love and serve. It's one of the greatest desires of my heart, is that my entire family would wholeheartedly love, worship, serve this amazing God who reveals himself to us in Jesus Christ. But I know that sometimes the way people find God is when their life falls apart. I know sometimes it's only out of a sea of trouble that people are willing to reach their hand up to God. And so sometimes I'm even afraid to pray that prayer for my kids because I do not want to see them go through any more hard times than they've been through already. So that fear keeps me from fully praying for my children the way God calls me to. And so God speaks into that fear in my life and says, don't be afraid. Sometimes fear keeps us from going to the next level God is calling us to. Why? Because we have ingrained in our brain that anytime we take a step toward God, the enemy's going to fling his worst stuff at us, right? So sometimes we hold back from getting closer because we don't want to get beat up by the enemy. And so we let our fear rob us of what God has for us, to know him more intimately and personally, maybe to answer a call he has on his life, our lives, maybe to serve him in a new way, because we're afraid. And into that fear, he says, don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. Okay, now, stopping being afraid is very much like stop worrying. If you've ever tried to stop worrying, it's not productive. And then you worry that maybe you're worrying when you're not supposed to be worrying. And, you know, we can do the same thing with fear. We grit our teeth and we tell ourselves, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm not going to be afraid. And we're afraid. We can't make ourselves not be afraid. And God doesn't just give this empty command, don't be afraid. He tells us why we're not supposed to be afraid. Because I'm with you. Because I'm going to strengthen you. Because I'm going to breathe my life into you. Because I'm going to pick you up when you can't pick yourself up. Because I'm going to take you by the hand and I'm not going to let you go. And no matter what the enemy of your soul might try to do to you, I am greater than him. He's defeated. He's no power except the power I let him have. Don't be afraid, because I am not gonna let you go. In the most turbulent storm, in the darkest night, in the roughest of seas, God says to us, you don't have to be afraid, because I'm with you. I'm never going to not be afraid by trying to make myself not be afraid. But as I continue to let God press the reality of who he is into my life, in the moments when everything's going wrong, when life doesn't make any sense, when I'd like to just throw in the towel and walk away, if I look for him, if I look for his hand underneath me, holding me up, if I remind myself of his promises, if I let him speak his truth into not just my head, not just my heart, but into my very life, I will be closer and closer and closer to being able not to fear, to being able to let myself not be discouraged. Jesus said this. He said, guess what? In this world, you're going to have trouble. There's no avoiding it. You know, I wish that the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel was true. You know, I wish that there wasn't such a thing as a hard time for somebody who loved Jesus. I wish that people who loved Jesus didn't get sick and didn't have to struggle and didn't sometimes have financial collapse. But the reality of it is we live in a broken world and Jesus says you're going to have trouble, but he doesn't leave it there. He says, but be of good cheer, rejoice, hold on, take heart, because I've overcome the world. What about you? What discouragement is beating you up right now, robbing your joy and taking away the peace that God longs to give us. What are you afraid of? What fear is affecting the way you make decisions, affecting the way you answer God, maybe keeping you from taking a step that God's longing for you to take? I'd love for you to gather those thoughts up, and we're going to take a minute and lift them up to God and ask that he would speak his, "Stop being afraid. I'm with you. I've got you. I am not going to let you go." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are faithful. Even though sometimes we have a hard time believing it, we thank you that you're faithful, that you're steadfast, that you love us. God, and tonight I just ask that you would press your love in around us in such a strong way that we would know, even just for this 1 minute, how very much you love us. And Lord, we lift up to you tonight the places in our life where we're afraid. And sometimes with great cause, because sometimes we're facing really big things. We lift up our fear and our insecurity and our worry and our anxiety and our discouragement up to you. God, and we ask that you would speak your peace into our hearts, into our lives, into those situations. That you would remind us that you are with us. That you would open our spiritual eyes so we could get a glimpse of you upholding us with your strong and powerful right hand. Lord God, we just want to invite you tonight into a deeper place in our lives. We want to hear you, God. We want to see you. We want to know you. We want to love you. We want to follow you. So help us do that. God, we believe in you. Help our unbelief. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.